Hey, good day, everyone. I'm Rob Sparrow with the Viral Volley Podcast. I have a unique and very special episode, one that's near and dear to my heart because I've got my main man from UC Irvine, Dante Chakraborty. I kind of recognize the other guy to his right from somewhere, but no, in all honesty, another good man and a great family, both of them. TJ DeFalco, and who are happen to be playing together, and I'm probably going to butcher the name because my Italian accent is non-existent. Calippo Tono Calabria Viva Valencia.
That's not bad. Good, yeah.
Yeah, they're playing together. So we actually have a former Big West rivalry powwow. Now, you know, there's peace and harmony in the world because Irvine does get along with Long Beach State. So TJ and Dante, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Hey, Rob, thanks for having us. Yeah, no problem. Looking forward to it.
Hey, you know, it's, you know, seeing personalities like you guys excel on the international level is such a great thing to see. So I definitely want to, you know, jump at that opportunity because, as we all know, like the best volleyball in the world is being played in Europe right now, and that's where you guys are playing. But, you know, with the recent events, actually can't even call it recent, it's just happening. The last 8-9 months has been COVID. So I wanted to ask both you guys from your perspective what the situation has been like in Italy with COVID, and how has the Superliga been affected? You know, what's it like in the arenas, trainings, and that whole international pro experience?
Yeah, obviously COVID is a real thing for everyone in the world, and it's the same situation here. I know at the beginning it seemed like, oh, it's going on in Europe and it wouldn't get to the States, and now they're like, oh, it's worse in the States, whatever it is in Europe. But from our standpoint, we're doing everything we can to make sure we can get all our games in on time. If we can, and otherwise just finding ways to play. I think it started for us just in the beginning of the season. We weren't able to really travel to play any friendly matches or anything like that, so we really had to start fast. And then, you know, dealing with the testing and the masks and the protocol, I'm grateful for it because it knows it keeps us healthy, but it's definitely strange.
Yeah, it's definitely a totally different experience with, you know, coming off of the first time ever for over summer for 4 months. No, had not doing anything. No volleyball was being played. No national teams were in session. No, nothing like that. And then coming back into the pro team sessions and having a month and a half, 2 months to only train and not be able to play any friendlies, like you said. And then you have, next thing you know, you have a match in 2 weeks. You got to figure out how to gel as a team, find the chemistry and all that stuff. And COVID has been a rough obstacle, to say the least.
Yeah. You'd mentioned in before we even went live was your team hadn't had an outbreak, or yours and maybe one other team. What's been having to happen in the event that there have been outbreaks and change in schedule for you guys? And we'll start with TJ first.
In the event of an outbreak for the other teams, from what we'd heard, whatever team or whatever players were directly in contact, you know, within a certain amount of time with a diagnosis of, you know, on practicing, touching the same ball within a certain, they just have to, everyone on the team would pretty much have to be in a precautionary quarantine until the true positives had come out. Thankfully, we're so far from really any kind of civilization out here where we're staying, away from all the big cities and all that stuff, where we don't have the other temptations that the other teams have had to, you know, sift through and avoid. You know, going out to eat and doing all this stuff or doing other things in society where usually the big groups of people, we don't have any of that stuff down here. So mm-hmm. In a way we're lucky in that sense, but it takes a toll in the other way.
Yeah. Anything to add, Dante?
Yeah. I mean, I think TJ got it all. The only thing I would add is like everything in the world, there's a lot of uncertainty. We had a match against Trento, for example, scheduled to play. We postponed it because they have one case. We have to see where more cases come from. Okay. We reschedule. We want to play again. We drive to the airport. We're in the airport waiting to get on the plane, and we get word one more positive, so they need to retest. So we drive home from the airport, which is, I mean, I've never done that on a road trip, get all the way to the plane and turn around. And then we end up going to play them when they've got both setters out, and that kind of ends up being a storyline. So, you know, like TJ said, it's just trying to adjust to what comes and do the best we can.
Nice. Now, given that, you know, given this time in history and in society, I imagine you guys being the lone Yankees on your team, you spend a lot of time together. Where are you guys in relation to each other, and how do you guys pass the time beyond the training and the matches? You go with Dante.
Yeah. Luckily, we live quite close to each other. So we're on I mean, we've got a really nice setup, to be honest. We're on this sort of resort here, and we've got these little like cottages pretty close to each other. And right now, obviously with COVID, no one's traveling. So the whole hotel and everything is empty. We are definitely the only Americans, and with everything going on in the world, especially in America, we do field a lot of questions, especially from teammates and stuff. But for me, I don't know how TJ feels. It's been a lot of fun talking with the international guys, and you know, maybe guys have played with one American 3 years ago somewhere, and that's all they know about America. So for us to be able to kind of, not that neither of us is experts on whether it's politics or social justice or COVID, but at least give some sort of point of view from an American perspective.
Yeah. All right, you, TJ.
I'm incredibly thankful for the living situation we have. Like I said, we're about 20 minutes from town, out in the middle of all these farmlands and these different crops of whatever field they're growing, or in a bunch of animals and stuff. We're out on the top of a mountain, and there's nothing around us. And then there's all of a sudden this 5-star resort pops up, and we are, we have a great living situation because, like you said, the whole resort is empty. We have the entire resort to ourselves. So unlike the people that are living in like the city center or something like that, we can actually go out and go for a walk. We can go out on the days that it's nice and somewhat sunny, we can go outside and venture around. But some of the other teammates that are in the city center can't leave their house. You know, The only reason you can leave your house is to go to the grocery store or to go to practice or work.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do. So we're very blessed on that side of things.
Yeah. Now, where, just so for all of us who haven't been to Italy, whereabouts is Vivo Valentia in relation to the rest of like Rome we talked about?
Yeah, Vibo Valentia is in Calabria, so it's the southernmost region that is not Sicily. So it'd be like where the toes are in the high heel boot, if you kind of think about Italy like that. Mm-hmm. And so we are quite way, way, way south. A lot of the teams are right around Milano in the north. Modena, obviously, Milano, those types of teams, Ravenna, Verona, those types of teams. And then in the middle, you have Rome, and then Perugia and Civitanova. So we're quite a bit south. We definitely are the only southern team.
Yeah. You know, some of our listeners and viewers may wonder why Dante Chuck Rivordi has a great Italian accent. Yeah, he's got the good looks from dad, but the Italian accent comes from the lovely mom, Lucia, which I got to meet a few times at UC Irvine. So it's sounding good there, Dante. You make your mom proud.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad my mom will be proud. I'll have my mom proud and my sister saying, why are you trying to speak like an Italian? Just say the words normally. So it'll be a fun
And then TJ, for obvious reasons, it's already in him.
Yeah.
Hey, did you guys spend Thanksgiving together? Because that happened just last week. I mean, did you guys do anything special for the day?
We tried to. We asked around and see to the different butchers in the city, see if there was actually some sort of any way possible to get a full turkey, mm-hmm. or anything along those lines, and there was absolutely nothing. So we did a nice ritualistic dinner of rice and chicken on Thanksgiving.
It was a bird. That's all that mattered.
Yeah, exactly. We eat together all the time, so I can't say it was that special, but it was fun. Traveling back from Trento together that day, it was fun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, Dante, from what I can gather, this is your first season playing professionally abroad. Is that correct, or is this your second?
I played last year in Italy too. I was so I get to play here as an Italian.
So it's first in Vibo Valentia.
Sorry,
first in Vibo Valentia. Valentia.
Okay. So last year I was waiting on my change of federation to become an Italian player. So I bounced around. Actually, spent some time here in Vibo, went up to Ravenna, and then finished in A3 in Puglia. But this is my first year in the Superliga.
Well, how are your first two seasons playing professionally? Because obviously, both of you are considered rookies. I mean, TJ's only had two seasons as well, but how's it been for you particularly playing in internationally and in Italy?
Yes. I mean, it's definitely a jump in level, which has been a lot of fun, honestly. Playing against a guy like TJ in college, TJ and Kyle and Josh and those guys, I think, really set the standard for us. And here, I mean, TJ's a great player, but there are a bunch of TJs all around. So it's, you really gotta up your level. For me, getting back to Italy, where my family's from, was awesome, like as an experience. And even though I wasn't on one team for the beginning, being able to kind of bounce around and get different experiences, I really loved. And being able to pick up the language again, honestly, was huge, because this year it's a lot easier being able to speak both. So I was really lucky that way.
Yeah. How about you, TJ? Second season, same team. Obviously did some good things last year and they wanted to bring you back, but as a whole, your 2-year experience, how's it been for you?
It's been very interesting. Nothing like I'd ever heard. And that only goes along with the fact that it was COVID mm-hmm. for both my years. But one of the things that I like to say to the people that I was talking about last year was, man, what a first year, you know, to come out of college, graduate, win the championships, do all that kind of stuff, and then come in ready to play professional my first year of this team, whatever level it may be, anything like that, and then come in halfway through the season and everything gets shut down. You know, this pandemic hits the world and then everything is just different. You know, and then staying in quarantine and then figuring out how to get home, and you're stuck in this foreign country, and there may not be a way for you to get home for months, or there's no idea about anything. And then, like I said, about this time over summer, there's nothing to do over summer. You know, no volleyball to be played for the first time in 6 years for me. It was an extraordinary feeling and experience. And then coming back where we're already in COVID, coming back to the country where I left before. Mm-hmm. And my first 2 years have been it's been very interesting, but it's been a great learning process and a growing process, because that is just a bunch of little obstacles that I have to get over and learn how to grow and learn how to figure out how to adapt and everything like that. So it made it much tougher, but it made me much of a stronger mentally and being able to deal with that kind of stuff. Right. So it's been a blessing in disguise for sure.
Well, the other thing is this, and with both of you formerly being Big West rivals and now collaborating on the same team, how is it like knowing to have someone that you're familiar with on the same team? And I mean, as close as you guys saw each other 2-3-4 times a year, you know, including the preseason, and now you're playing on the same team. How's it like training together, you know, improving relationships and all that? How's it been for you two?
Yeah, I mean, it's been super helpful. As you can imagine, having someone of the same nationality on the team as you, it makes all the world a difference. But I didn't know if you knew this, but we've been playing together and against each other and with each other for 6 or 7 years.
Eight years. 14. So this would be the 10th year in a row I've played either with or against you.
Yeah, because we did the USA pipeline, we did the club stuff, yeah. We did all that, and so so I mean, especially having someone like that who had so much background and like a understanding of where each other's been and come from, it makes it so much easier to have someone to talk to about various mental issues. Oh, I miss my family, or I'm going through this, I'm going through that, or just being able to speak English fluently. Because someone for like me, I haven't had the the drive quite yet to learn fully Italian.
It's come.
We got Dante now. He'll teach you, right?
Give him 1 or 2 more years here. He'll be with the top club speaking fluently, just like Micah.
Yeah. But just having the peace of mind of being able to not speak broken English and have a level understanding of what the conversation is doing, where is it going, and all that kind of stuff is really just peaceful.
Yeah. How about you, Dante?
Yeah, it's been awesome. Like TJ said, man, we've been playing either with or against each other for a long time now, and mostly against. So it's always nice to have a guy you played against and you get to know him and you're like, man, I really wish I could hate this guy, but he's a pretty good dude. Which luckily I knew a little bit before going into school, but yeah. No, it's been a lot of fun. And it's really nice to have another American here and just to be able to chat and figure out, okay, can we find soy sauce in the grocery store? Okay, we found a taco meat here. Like, let's try like this. You know what Thanksgiving is. So it's a lot of fun.
You know, just eat prosciutto and pasta for each meal?
I would love to do that, honestly, but even Italian food, every now and then, it is nice to switch it up.
Yeah. So, hey, let's go and talk a little bit about the team that you're on, Vivo Valentia, or Tano Calipo, Calabria, such a long name. So last season, total of 4 wins. Currently, your team is just under what looks like the midway point through the season. You know, obviously with COVID, that could change, you know, with the amount of matches. But actually, I think we have enough to 8 wins as of last night. You now stand in 3rd place. What has got your team going through in the recent weeks? And did you expect this kind of success during the season? And we'll start with Dante and then go over to TJ.
Yeah, this club is awesome because it is the only club in the South, and they're super warm and they love representing, but it's definitely not known as one of the big four clubs here. And the difference in finances and budget here is a real thing. It's very hard to play above your level. It's been awesome so far. Again, this is my first year here, so I don't really know what happened last year, but I think a lot of our success comes from the fact that the guys we have, especially the guys that are playing big minutes for us, they get along and they're always working on trying to be better. We started the season with two really rough losses, and I think a lot of people were like, okay, same old Vibo, like that'll be an easy win for everyone. And the guys on the court, to their credit, have just every week just chipped away and found ways that we can win against some of the best players in the world. It's been really fun to be a part of.
Yeah. How about you, TJ?
I'm not going to lie. It's been kind of like a surprise for me as well. Just because of last year and the team chemistry and the vibe around the coach and the relationship between the players last year wasn't the brightest, wasn't the best, wasn't the, we'll say happiest of the possible program mm-hmm. outlines. But and coming into this year, man, it is completely different. One of the things that the one of the Italian older guys said on this team was, man, I don't want it to be the same as last year. Last year we were heavily clicked, where the Italians would hang out with the Italians. The French guy was hanging out with the French guys, and it was me and one other Italian guy that everyone kind of was not really uneasy about, but they had their groups. They had their thing. They had their comfortabilities where they didn't really stray
from. They were the outliers, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. And so one of the players from last year said this year was like that was one of the reasons why the player culture was so negative. And you can't flourish in such a negative environment day in and day out. And especially having a new coach. New coach is a godsend because it having as a toxic as a coach as we did last year, and just like the overall him not knowing the vibe of everyone and the players being able to work together, and then him being like a force on the outside, like the needle in the balloon, just didn't cope well at all. So everything this year has really come together full circle, and you know, been about understanding players' wants and needs on and off the court. Because off the court stuff last year was non-existent; it didn't matter in any way, shape, or form. It was if you're doing your job, you're doing your job fine. But that's all we care about.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more of that, and the coach is great, the staff is great, and more than anything, the guys on this team are just good guys. You know, they're happy to strike up a conversation about some silly stuff that went on over the weekend, or you know, silly conversations every time we sit down and have lunch with you know the French guys and stuff, and that stuff builds camaraderie that can be reflected on the court. I think that's huge.
Oh, for sure. For both of you, I guess it's now three matches ago, based upon the time I've done my notes, but Vibo Valencia upset a league-leading Civitanova, if I said that correct. Boasts a roster with Osmani Wantorena, Luciano DiCecco, Yolandi Leal. Amazing match. And TJ, you had 18 points, 16 kills, and two aces. But what was it about your team that was able to pull off? I mean, they were undefeated going into that match against you guys. And I know Dante, both you guys are super cerebral players. That's what I've gathered from Coach Knipe and Coach Niven. I mean, you guys know the game, but what was happening on the court that gave you guys that win against such a highly touted roster? Let's start with Dante.
Yeah. Man, it was a lot of fun. Before I say anything else, it was awesome to play against guys of that caliber. I mean, especially DiCecco, Leal, like these are people that I know both of us watched on YouTube growing up. Yeah. And now we're you know, in the game. And, hey, well, let's make a game plan and try to beat them. And I think that game for us, for me, was a testament to the guys, especially that we have playing, that know themselves. I mean, TJ is not an old guy here. Like you said, he's a young guy here, and I think he figured out in a lot of ways how he could score and score points there. Our other outside, Thibaut, he did the same thing. We're not a team that's going to, you know, do what Wilfredo Leon does and just bomb away over and over and over. Like, we have skills that I don't think a lot of people have. We're really good in reception. We're really good in defense. TJ and Thibaut are good at hitting all sorts of different types of balls, and they were good about playing the game plan that we designed, that they designed to put us in the best spots. And mm-hmm. and that's why you play the game. Even against a team like Lube, if we do what we're doing right and you catch them just on the wrong stuff and let their spectacular plays go and realize they're worth 1 point, anything can really happen.
Yeah. How about you, Teach?
Yeah, for me, it was, I mean, afterwards, I don't think either of us stopped saying, wow, I can't believe we won for about 4 hours.
All month.
Yeah. but it was, if when thinking back on it right after the match was, I think it was, we didn't care about how intimidating the other team was. We didn't care about the names, the stature, the record, the amount of money one player on that guy, that team gets. You know, it was, we came into that game with a game plan and a hard week of practice and nothing but hard work. And we just played our game to the best of our ability. We didn't get caught up in the, you know, this is Leal, who makes way more money than 8 guys on our team, or any, Lucianio DiCecco, who's one of the top 3 in the world. Yeah. You know, we didn't get caught up in that. We went out there and played our game. And I think, like Dante said, we caught him in that moment of maybe a little bit of a lax in their brain, and where they were like, oh, this is a team from Viva Valencia. Last year they had 4 wins. I mean, what more, you know, they only changed a few players. Mm-hmm. What, you know, what could they really do for damage, you know?
Right.
And I think we caught them right there, right then. And then we just started going and we put our foot on the gas and they just couldn't catch up in the time. And it was perfect timing for all that stuff to go on and in line perfectly with that. And then we come out on top.
Yeah. Well, actually segues to my next question, because anyone who follows international volleyball recognize that both of you are competing against some of the biggest names in volleyball. Do you guys go through a wow factor when you compete against them and you see them in the same arena as you? And start with TJ.
100%. My first year, last year, we're going around playing all these different teams and with all these big names. It's just like a moment of awe. It's just like, holy cow, I'm on the other side and I'm going to have to deal with that guy. Mm-hmm. Or just see him in the, you know, we're on the same court. And it was 100%. It was that feeling of, wow, I've watched that guy and I've watched that guy for about 8 years on YouTube and tried to emulate my game after him. What certain things that he does. It's insane to me that I'm actually going to have to go against him, you know? So.
How about you, Dante?
Yeah. I mean, I think TJ said it exactly how I would say it. And the only thing I would add is I've been so pleasantly, not even surprised, but just blown away with how nice some of these guys are. Like, I think for me too, you build up some of these guys in your mind, even the American guys, like, you know, Micah and Kavika and these guys that I've obviously watched, you know, being in the US. And then after a game or at a serving pass, obviously with all the COVID restrictions, it's a little different. You're able to say, hey, like, yeah, especially for me, hey, what do you got for me? Like, you've been at the top of your game for this long, like, even the foreign guys, and they're all like, oh man, you know, keep your head up, like, all like, and every guy I've talked to has been awesome, from different countries, speaking different languages. It's really cool to see that community. I think we had a really nice community back in the Big West and in California with volleyball, and globally it's still there.
Yeah. Well, let's bring our conversation back to home and current events here. You know, bring it to even particularly Southern California. What are your guys' thoughts on the impact of COVID on your alma maters? So obviously, TJ, Long Beach State, Dante, UC Irvine, in the Big West and the NCAA. Have you guys spoken with any former coaches and teammates in regards to what's been happening around here? We'll start with TJ.
The first thing that pops into my mind when I think about the effect on not just my alma mater, but all schools in general, is just, man, how bad I feel for them mm-hmm. in that situation. Because some of them maybe have gotten the chance to come back for the sixth year, mm-hmm. but that also is getting turned down because of COVID. And it's just, man, it's like, if I were in that situation where it was my junior year going into my senior year, the class went out, and then like, this year is my year, you know, I'm going to show them what I can do. And this is what I'm going to leave my stamp on my legacy on for my time spent in this school or anything, whatever school I would have gone to. And then they get shut down by COVID. And then it's like, okay, am I going to make the decision to finish the school out with doing all the online stuff and missing out in the sociable in-person classes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then am I going to decide to push back some classes and come back for next year, like a sixth year or a fifth year or whatever the case may be. And it's just, and then that maybe gets taken away too. And right. I feel so bad for some of these people that really have pushed, you know, and trained and studied and did all this stuff for something like this to be the closing of their college years.
Yeah. How about you, Dante?
Yeah. I keep in pretty good touch with the UCI guys, and I know the craziest thing for me has been you'll talk to them 1 week, and it's one way, and you talk to them the next week, and everything has completely changed. And I know that's kind of the situation worldwide, but it's really tough, like what TJ's saying, especially the great thing about playing in college, maybe better than here, is you're not just playing. Like, you're on a team, you're going to school. There's so many parts of the game that aren't the on-the-court stuff, and I think a lot of guys lost that. I do got to say, talking to the guys at UCI, Joel, Scotty, Pat, and Johnny, and all those guys, and Niff, man, I'm really proud of what they're doing. I know Niff's been preaching a long time to our guys, like, we're going to be a team that's adjustable. Like, we're going to deal with adversity. And this is something that I don't think anybody planned for. And I absolutely love the way the guys, the leaders and the leadership core we have on that team are handling it right now. And yeah. Before anything else, I know TJ gave that whole speech, but I think he's just happy that no one else has won a title since 2018. He's just happy Hawaii doesn't have his trophy before.
By nature of the carryover rule, Long Beach State has won 3 in a row.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't think he's ever going to let it go, man.
That's just, I love it.
No, COVID keeps going. Not at all.
Nice. Well, you know, you did say this thing that the uncertainty has been crazy, because even just in the last week, teams got back into training last week, and then some schools, I won't disclose who, got a COVID infection, and they've shut down training for all the other athletic programs. And they've moved the training date to January 1st. Like USC men's, I saw some posts by assistant coach Gary Sato. They're training in Galen, but I mean, we are on a mandated state lockdown right now, just as of last night. So I don't know what's going to happen to sports. I'm getting announcing gigs, but they're being canceled literally hours before they happen. So it's so uncertain. And I mean, seeing what you guys are doing, it's been great to be able to watch you guys on the YouTube feed for you know, the Super League. And then also the guys are playing in Poland and France. So it's, I mean, at least some sports we know can happen in Korea. You know, Kyle Russell, another anteater. Sorry, TJ. I'll call some other Long Beach State guys on there. Josh Tuninga, he's playing well in Poland there. But I mean, what they're doing fan-wise, you know, they've actually allowed fans back into the arena at a 50% capacity. So, you know, there's hope. It can be done. But I think we're still a ways off, and I'm just really hoping and praying that we can see an NCAA season. Cause I, you know, we know the Big West is going to be intense for the next 4 or 5, I mean, probably longer than that, because of the talent that both UC Irvine, Long Beach State, UC Santa Barbara, even San Diego was on the rise. I mean, Hawaii, yeah. I mean, it was going to be a brutal, you know, beatdown come at the Big West tournament. So we're going to be missing out on a lot of these guys that you guys competed against, like Rado Parapunov, Colton Cowell, you know, of course, all the Long Beach State guys, Carlos Rivera, you know, Simone Anderson. I miss seeing these guys play. So, you know, we're definitely missing out on such a great, what could be great years for your programs. So, now last night, let's go to more recent events. That's why I had to change some numbers on the fly here since me sending the notes to you. But you ended up playing Modena Valley, Micah Christensen's team. And you know, I'm not going to say that you guys don't have the strength and power to do what you did, but that was a pretty hefty win for you guys. A straight set victory. TJ, if I got my stats right, 12 points, 9 kills off 3 aces. But you guys all looked really good. You know, there's, you guys are dialing in all on cylinders. So talk about the match last night. We'll start with Dante.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I know we talked about Lube and Trento and Modena now, and it was funny. We were sitting around the dinner table after the win at Modena, and you're hearing guys that have played, some of these guys have played 300 matches in the Super League, and they're saying stuff like, man, that's the first time I've ever beaten Modena, or that's the first time I've ever beaten Lube, or swept Modena away, or all these stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's been really cool for us. I don't think we'll really understand the full significance maybe till we're a little older in the league. But it was a lot of fun. Always fun going against another American. And here in Italy, Modena is the gold standard for volleyball culturally.
Yep.
They're selling out season tickets every year. 5,000 season ticket holders are coming. Even this year, where there weren't players, weren't fans for most of the year, they're selling that stuff out. It's really a temple. And to be able to get a win there is huge. And it's just a testament to the guys we got out there and what they're able to do.
Yeah. Anything to add, TJ?
This kind of goes along with what I said about Lube. It was one of those games that maybe there was an expectation, maybe there wasn't, whatever anybody wants to think, but all it came down to was us playing our game as best we possibly could. And we came out firing at all cylinders, and we caught fire and kept going. And then maybe we caught him in like that little moment of down in their brain or down in their mind about, oh, the last time we played, we swept them. They didn't do anything. You know, this guy got pulled last game. So yeah, we're kind of expecting the same kind of thing, results, anything like that. And then it turns completely different, where it's the complete opposite.
Right.
And that's just staying in the moment and playing the game. We know we trained every single day in our gym this week. And that's just applying it on the court.
Now, did any of you guys get to talk to Micah after the match, or you guys pretty much separated immediately after the match is completed?
I would have loved to have communicated with him. And last time they came to us, we had a great time out after the match. We were hanging out, listening to music, talking with a bunch of the guys and stuff. And unfortunately, they went into their locker room and they had their time with their coach and their team for an unknown amount of time. So we weren't actually able to talk with him before we departed Modena. But I talked with him a little bit before, mostly just about the hair. but other than that, no, not really, unfortunately.
So let's look at the rest of the season. What are the plans moving forward here at the near halfway mark of the season? Is that right, that this is at the halfway mark, so to speak? Because I think April is when the season ends for you guys, but I haven't really tried my best to keep up with COVID and all that, how they're structuring these playoffs and all that. But is it the halfway point for you guys?
Yeah, we just played our second game of the second rotation.
Okay.
The second half of the season.
Right, so, okay.
But our regular season is supposed to end in February 15th.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Well, you moved into third place with the victory last night. And to your guys' knowledge, is this the best that the club has performed in its history?
From my knowledge, no. Because I've talked to the president about various situations where there many years ago. He was telling the story to Dante, and I'm not going to lie, he told me. So, no, this is not by any means the best they've done, but it is a very enlarged improvement from last season. So that's the only thing that I really care about.
Anything you add there, Dante, about the performance of the team and plans going forward?
Yeah, I think for me, the plans going forward is kind of keep doing what we're doing and try not to focus on the giant picture and even the standings and just, hey, we got Milano this week. That's a really good team. What can we do to prepare to win that one game and get to the end? And I mean, we have goals of playoffs and all sorts of stuff, but as you know, in any sport you play, it's kind of do what you can do today to help yourself tomorrow and go from there.
Now, are there going to be any tournaments that, you know, kind of like Champions League that Vibo Valencia will be competing in, or there like Italian Cup mini series that you guys do? And I try to navigate the sites as best I can as an American with translation, I'd rather just ask you guys flat out.
Yeah, that stuff is fairly confusing coming from me from last year when I was coming from college. I had no idea about any of this kind of stuff. But all the admittance into those tournaments comes from the results the season prior.
Gotcha.
So the top four of this last year's season, hypothetically, go into Champions League for each league. So the top four go to Champions League, and then the five through eight go into the Challenge Cup something like that. I don't know all of it because I haven't experienced any of it. But and then in the beginning of the year, we played before regular season started. We played a pool play match with Milano, Monza, and Verona to see about going into a cup.
Yeah,
we went 2-1-2, so we didn't get into the cup. But all of that, like the Champions League stuff and the Challenger Cup and the Coppa Italia and all that stuff, is based off of last year's results.
Right. Well, you got a good season going so far. So I wanted to jump on a lighter side of things, which I did not prep you guys on. So I'm looking for some good natural response here. I know Dante's going to love this one, though. Because TJ, you're the subject of it. So let me go over to my screen share here. And, posted this video of you last night because apparently you got back-to-back-to-back aces. But yeah, sure, the video was great, but it was the response from your sister Tegan that really got me. Hey. So please cut your hair. You respond. Come on, you're supposed to be my biggest supporter also. Never. And she responds, TJ DeFalco. Oh, I am. You just look like a Cabbage Patch Kid. And then you respond, I guess that's true, but come on, you know, support without opinions or questions. Of course, I had to throw mine in there, but I don't need to read that. So with that, I went ahead and was doing some checking out online. So I found Cabbage Patch Doll.
Oh, boy. Which,
you know, this was the version one of it, you know, with the ponytail on top. Because if you guys, any of you viewers or listeners watch the video, the ponytail's on top. So that's why we found the TJ DeFalco Cabbage Patch Doll. But even better.
That's incredible. I'm going to need to copy that for our locker room as well.
Coming out for Christmas 2020 is this doll. It is the TJ DeFalco Tano Calipo Fibo Valencia Man Bun.
Fibo too. That's incredible.
My lord.
So
order two right now. You let me know.
Can you speak into this? Because TJ is covering his mouth here. So thoughts on the new toy that's coming out for Christmas 2020.
Oh my lord.
It's fantastic. It's absolutely incredible. I'd like to order one for every member of the team here. Throw one in the Bren.
I don't remember signing off on this. I want my rights. Wow.
Our other outside has a bun too. So now that TJ's got the bun, the other outside's got the bun, it's perfect.
Is that Tebow?
Tebow. He's always wearing tank tops and stuff like that, so that's perfect.
Well, we can just say that's a Tebow one, not a TJ one. We'll send this from Long Beach State.
Tebow than it does me now.
Give us another 2 months, we'll make them the same. No difference.
Well, what I'll do is I'll say it's a TJ doll. We'll sell it for UC Irvine booster fund.
Perfect.
We'll give 10
500 fans. I love it. I'm all for it.
First 500 fans get to throw this on the court.
Yeah. Man.
That's just is a great marketing.
Whatever, whoever you need me to talk to at UCI, you let me know. I'm 100% behind that project.
Well, hey guys, I totally appreciate your time, and I love the insight that you guys are giving towards playing professionally abroad, because that's one thing that us Americans don't really get to see. I mean, you have to be a diehard to follow what's going on for any American players, you know, because we've got a ton of D1, 2 athletes that are abroad. I mean, a lot of your teammates, TJ, I mean, Kyle's playing abroad, Josh, and obviously Dante, you still got Kyle, you have, I mean, guys that are coming out, you know, Dave, you know, so many guys are out there. So I appreciate you taking the time and sharing your experience out there. And I love the fact that you guys are making a huge impact on the program right now, because you're at third place and I mean, things look up. So thanks for coming on the Viral Volley Podcast. And, you know, I look forward to following you guys. And what is the best way to track what you guys are doing on social media? Go and give your handles a shout out.
Your social media, buddy?
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. Dante is not, he has a small social media footprint, so if any.
Yeah.
You can reach him by pigeon if you guys want.
Right, carrier pigeon.
I'm pretty bad at updating my social media stuff, but just TJ DeFalco on Instagram. I post all the stories from the games before and everything like that, and then every once in a while I'll throw a post up about trying to go into that kind of stuff, but other than that,
the team's got some stuff too. I don't know what.
Yeah, probably better to follow the team. It's got to be Tono Calipo Volley on Instagram or something like that.
Yeah, and Dante still carrier pigeon. We're going with that, or messenger owl. Which one do you prefer?
Not a big social media guy myself.
What is your major? Wait, just share with us what your major is.
Computer science.
Well, isn't there like a social media impacts paper you did like? Really?
You're not wrong. No,
you shouldn't have shared that information with me.
I'm not a huge social media guy, but you know how to get a hold of me. So anyone that needs to get a hold of me can go through Rob. We'll flood your phone for me there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go through Rob.
I try my best to get your stuff out there, and definitely TJ DeFalco Volley, Tono Calipo Volley, or Volley Tono Calipo is the Facebook page, and they're doing pretty good stuff on Instagram as well. So I'm trying to get my USA guys out there just so they can see what you guys are doing, because you guys are doing some great stuff in Italy. So again, that's TJ DeFalco, Long Beach State alumnus, Dante Chakravorty, UC Irvine alumnus. Between the two of them, two programs, 7 rings. With 4 of them with Irvine, 3 to Long Beach State. I just got to add that in.
There you go, buddy. There you go.
All right, hey, guys, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Rob. Thanks, everybody.